I have a message for you. We had Stephen Tobolowsky was in town, and I brought you up, and he had nothing but good things to say with you. I said that you had bought him some bottles of wine, and also said that you may be an expert on more subjects than any man he's ever met.
Well, that's interesting. Actually, all I have is cocktail party knowledge on pretty much every subject, which means I can go, I'm about two sentences deep, and that's got, then we got to change subject.
Well, I know when it comes to a Thanksgiving Day, you know your stuff. The National Dog Show, presented by Purina, back for another year, broadcast nationwide on NBC. It's become such a wonderful Thanksgiving tradition. And I have to say, we've talked with you about this before. Few programs feel as family-oriented these days as this show does. It's such a wonderful event for people of all ages and really does bring the family together.
Well, thank you for saying that, because actually that's very true. I always maintain that the show is, if you're 4 or 94, there's something for you there. And you can't say that about too many of our programs today, and that's the wonderful thing about it. It's a wonderful piece of program that fits nicely in that slot between the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and, of course, the all the football that follows at 2 o'clock. So it's a nice little it's a nice little thing that all of America can watch.
You and David Fry have such great chemistry together, and I know it's a lot of work, but it sure looks like you're having fun in the midst of the work that you put in.
Well, David and I have been, we introduced to each other 16 years ago when we started this, and, not only are we, we're good co-workers, we're good co-hosts, but we're also very good friends. We have a very deep relationship. I count him as one of the great people I've ever met, and he's certainly introduced me and educated me in the world of dogs.
John, speaking of dogs, obviously they are the center of attention, the star attraction. But are there moments that don't necessarily make it into the broadcast that make you wonder if some of those dogs aren't exactly ready for prime time?
There are. Every now and then we have a dog will get loose from its handler and just start to take a circle around the ring. Now, it's probably, if there's a mortal sin in the world of dog shows, that's it. So it's tremendously embarrassing for the handler. It kind of disqualifies the dog from any further consideration, but it does happen from time to time. We also do have the hazmat accidents there. I by the NBC booth one time as he was sauntering around the ring in the best in show category, and the Great Dane stops right in front of the NBC booth, looks me straight in the eye, squats down, and leaves a pile that will look like an elephant had just come.
Well, one of the great things about this show, the Kennel Club of Philadelphia, is the opportunity for fans to get to meet the dogs and to talk with the handlers as well.
That's the best part about this. This is one of the last remaining benched shows in America. A benched show means that the owners, the handlers, the breeders, everybody who's there, and the dogs themselves have to remain during the run of the show, which starts in the morning about 7:30 and goes until about 7 o'clock at night. So it's a long, long day, but it gives the tens of thousands of people that are there at the Kennel Club of Philadelphia there a chance to run up and down the aisles, talk with everybody. If you're looking for a particular dog, it's a wonderful interactive experience with the breeders, because they can tell you what to look for in terms of lifestyle arrangements for certain breeds. And you end up being able to, if you're looking for a dog, it's a wonderful educational experience to find the dog that's right for you. And remember, we have nearly 200 breeds there, 2,000 of the best dogs in the country.
John, with that education in mind and learning so much about the animals over the course of your years on the program, have you developed a new affinity for or appreciation for any particular breed that you wouldn't have thought was in your wheelhouse prior to your participation?
Well, not a dog. I mean, certainly we have we've latched on to several breeds, and we have it introduced me to, over the 16 years, it's introduced me to the Cavalier King Charles, which we have one at home, little Sadie May, and also to the Havanese, which we have in one as well, little Lucy. And we also have a little rescue dog that we picked up this year as well. That's kind of like a little Norwich Terrier. She's kind of a rust-colored Toto-looking dog, but is very, very sweet. But it's introduced us to those breeds. But I'll tell you, the one breed that I really love, and it's not a dog that's correct for our lifestyle, but I love the Irish Setter. And the Irish Setter saunters into the ring with it's a very erect and the auburn hair just flows with their cut. And I tell you, it looks like the redhead that just walked into the cocktail party.
We're talking with John O'Hurley here on Downtown. Will there be some new breeds in the competition this year?
This year, you know, we have one new breed that the AKC has brought in this year. Unfortunately, it will not be showing with us in this show. It will be showing later in the year when we do the Beverly Hills Dog Show, which is the brand new show that we do that airs on Easter Sunday. So we will have that. It's a little Dutch spaniel that has a name that is almost unpronounceable. But it between now and Easter Sunday, I have plenty of time to learn how to pronounce it.
John, we talked with you earlier this year about your film, and it's out now and getting wonderful reviews. Swing Away, people seem to love this movie and your role in it, but also the message and a great one for these times about female empowerment.
Well, and it's a wonderful film about going back, and this is an LPGA pro that has a meltdown, and she disgraces herself on the final green of a major championship, and she's suspended. And so as she goes back to her homeland in Greece with her grandparents and rediscovers not only the depth of her heritage, but some extraordinary things inside of her that allow her to mentor a 10-year-old girl who's a golf phenom and championship the town when they're trying to save property from an evil American developer, which is yours truly. But it's a wonderful story about redemption and renewal, and that you know, we are not our circumstances. So it's a wonderful message in the film, and it seems to resonate with everyone who sees it.
John, given what might be some perceived similarities between your character, as mentioned, and our current president, do you find it difficult to play that role and remain respectful to the office?
Well, Donald, our president, is a dear friend of mine, and I've known him for 25 years, but I've known him as a businessman, and he is a type A personality. He's a bull in a china shop, and he actually, the character in this movie goes into the culture of the Isle of Rhodes there, buys the golf course, and has no concern for anything other than the deal. And, you know, Donald had a little bit of that when he ventured over into the British Isles and redid a course over there. Now, to his credit, it's one of the prettiest courses in all of Ireland, but it came at a cost. He ended up, distancing himself from a lot of the local people there. But I definitely channeled his character when I created the role of this kind of ugly American developer.
John, you're always so very busy. What other projects have you got in the works in the coming months?
Well, actually, as soon as I finished the dog show, I head to Houston. I'm doing a special British panto production of Sleeping Beauty down there. I'm taking some of the kids from the Disney shows, and we're going to bring them down there, and we're going to do a wonderful production for all of the kids and the first responder families of the kids that were affected by the hurricane in Houston. I'll be there from December right up to Christmas Eve. And it's a little payback for them, just to say thank you for what you've endured and also the hard work that you have put in trying to reclaim the Houston area, because they have lost their theater down there. So we'll be there at the Hobby Center, and it'll be a wonderful time of year for them. I also have my one-man show that I continue to tour around the country called A Man with Standards. And then I am heading off in May to shoot another film in all places, Greece again. It's my second film in Greece.
Well played, sir. Well played indeed. You've talked about this before, that people have the choice between leading an ordinary life or an extraordinary life. How do we make that clear choice as individuals?
Well, thanks, Rich, for bringing that up. That really is kind of my premise in life, is that I like to talk about that and challenge people to live what I refer to as the extraordinary life. And I have three simple elements that the first is that you live by your imagination, not by your rational mind, because your imagination can't lie to you, and it always will lead you in the direction that you're supposed to go to. The second principle is to live by stillness, by contemplation, as I call it. So it's just living in the present moment and not concerning yourself with the expectations of the future, and not dwelling on the shame of the past. So you live in the present moment, and that allows you to experience the wonder of what's going on every second of the day. And finally, the last element of the extraordinary life is appreciation, and that is recognizing the inherent value and the inherent vulnerability in every human being. You'll see it as a little baby. You know, little babies are inherently vulnerable and they're inherently valuable. But somehow we lose that respect for the people as they get older and older and older. And yet that same vulnerability and value is still present in every one of us walking the earth.
Wonderful advice right there, John. Always a delight for us to talk with you. Thanks as always for making time for us. And we all look forward to spending part of our Thanksgiving with you, the National Dog Show, presented by Purina at noon, nationwide, on the NBC Network.
Always a joy to talk to you, Rich. Thank you.